Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and for the support from you, the listener. And we thank you. For those of you who've tuned in today for the very first time, we say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday, make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those of you who've been listening for many years, we thank you, and we hope you continue also to come back each and every Sunday. And we praise the Lord for the message that He's given us today. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare again. We're in a series talking about spiritual warfare. And so this is a big, big subject as we've talked in the past. Today is part three of this series, and we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 17. And we'll look at this passage regarding an epileptic boy who the father brings to Jesus to cast the demon out of him. And so Matthew chapter 7. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya? All of the children are home from school. We have about 22 children now in the home. And a few of them we have visiting their relatives. There's most of the children in our home have relatives back in the village somewhere, not necessarily mother or father, but oftentimes grandparents or distant relatives. And so we allow them to go home to visit, and then they come back for the school term, which will take up again the end of August. And at the children's home, we're planting. We've got 2 acres of beans planted, and we've got other projects going on. We're building cement fence posts. We have an opportunity to buy another acre of land right next to the church, between the church and the children's home. And so pray about that, that we can get funds to buy an acre of land. We want to build a school there, primary school. And we have 2 acres, then we'll have 2 acres of land between the church and the children's home. And that'll be enough. We can build a primary school there, have about 200 students of Makunda Village children. Many of them are Muslim children, and so it'd be an opportunity to witness to these children, an opportunity to testify to them in a good Christian environment, a good Christian school. And many of these children then will come to know the Lord, even though they are now of another religion. So pray about that, and you can stay tuned for contact information at the end of this broadcast and make a donation if the Lord puts it on your heart. Well, Matthew chapter 17 in verse 14, this is the story of a man who had a son who is an epileptic. And in spiritual warfare, we know the battle is not against flesh and blood. We know our battle, whether it's a battle regarding mental illness, whether it's a battle regarding addictions, whether it's a battle regarding anything in the spirit realm, unbelief, lack of faith, cussing, whatever it is in the spirit realm, there's always a physical manifestation of it. But the basic problem is in the spirit realm. And so that's what Jesus is showing us here. This is a man who has a son who's an epileptic. And this is not a conflict between the gospel, between Jesus Christ and the gospels of Jesus, the truth of Jesus. This is not a conflict between that and medical science or medical solutions, men's problems. We're all after the same thing, which is to bring glory to God, to bring healing into people's lives. And so our goal is the same. Medical science, psychology, philosophy, all that has their solutions to man's problems. But Jesus Christ has His solutions, and the solutions given in the Bible are the solutions that we're talking about here today. So in verse 14, it says, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. So you'll notice there was no talk about demon prior to this. There was no talk from the Father, nothing from the Son, nothing from Jesus. He just said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And then he says in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And so Jesus had one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discerning of spirits. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, discerning of spirits is listed as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus had a word of knowledge or a discerning of spirits that this boy had a demon that was causing these epileptic seizures. Now, if you have a child out there and you're listening today and that child is suffering from seizures, I know it's a very common thing for people to suffer from seizures. And people have the solutions in the pharmaceutical world, and that's all well and good. I'm not an expert in psychology, but I think many times if people would understand the spiritual nature of these seizures, the spiritual nature of these mental illnesses, they would come to the understanding that it is actually a spiritual problem, and in many cases, it's a demonic problem. Well, if you think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, telling us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness, or spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so we live in a demonic world. We live in a world that is ruled by the devil. Jesus said, the devil is the ruler of this world. Never mind, I have overcome this world. Or in other words, you can overcome the devil in this world through me, said Jesus. And so if you have issues with seizures, if you have issues with mental problems, bipolar, schizophrenia, any of these kinds of illnesses that the pharmaceutical industry seems to think they have a solution to, remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against these demonic entities in the unseen world. And if you start to look in that direction for the solution, beloved, you will find a solution for many, many of these mental issues. So Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And so all it took was a few words. I don't know how many words, it doesn't say, but all it took was a few words from Jesus to deal with what ordinarily in our world in this day and age would be a multi-year problem of dealing with seizures, taking drugs, trying to regulate and appropriate the right drug, right dosage. And so Jesus took care of it in just a few seconds by rebuking this demon. He went right to the heart of the problem, recognizing that this boy had a demon. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so he rebukes the disciples, he chastises them for their unbelief, and they don't have the belief to move this mountain out of this boy's life. And so that's a teaching for us right there. Jesus rebukes us also for our unbelief. And we run to the doctor, and praise God for doctors. I've been to the doctor myself, and I thank the Lord for doctors. There are times when we need doctors. There's also times when we need to address things in the spirit realm and go right to the heart of the matter, because just about every illness mental or physical, has some kind of a spiritual foundation. And of course, it all goes back to the fall. You can take it clear back to the fall of Adam and Eve. There was a time when there was no illness, there was no sickness, there was no pain, there was no sorrow when Adam and Eve were in the garden. And so we live in a fallen world. And so people are going to get sick. I don't preach the health and wealth gospel. I believe in taking care of my body, and I believe you should take care of your body. You should put the best food that you can in your body. You should drink the best drink, good clean water, and other drinks, fruit drinks. But much of what we put into our body, both food-wise and in liquids and in drinks, are not beneficial to the body. Too much sugar, too much alcohol, whatever. Many of these drinks bring problems to the body instead of the solutions that we take the drink for in the first place, which is just to hydrate the body or to give us a lift in energy or whatever the case may be. But I believe in taking care of your body, but we live in a fallen world, and no matter how well you take care of your body, maybe you jog every day, maybe you lift weights every day, but all these things, you can take care of your body, but you are still going to get sick eventually, and you're going to die eventually. You may just die from old age, and that also is a type of the fallen world. That is the result of living in a fallen world. We don't live forever. We die eventually. But our unbelief is a spiritual issue. That's not a physical issue. And Jesus rebuked their unbelief. And he said, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And this includes any problem that you have. Beloved, if you have any problem, maybe you're having problems in your marriage and your marriage is on the verge of divorce, or your spouse and you bicker and fight all the time. Maybe you're having problems with your children, especially if you have teenage children, those issues of rebellion and those issues of back-talking and disdain for rules and regulations seems to crop up in teenagers. Then they get that real rebellious spirit. They want to go their own way and still eat at your table and live in your house. And so these problems, then they can be moved out. Jesus said they can be moved out if you have the faith of a mustard seed. Well, that faith of a mustard seed is a very tiny seed. Mustard seed's about the size of the dot of a Bic pen. And if you planted turnips or cabbages, you know how small that seed is. And if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to those problems in your life, move from here to there. And if you believe, all the power of God is within you to believe for that mountain to be moved out of your life. And so you believe, you keep praising God when you see little success, small success, you build on that small success. Maybe you have an addiction that's been with you for many years, too much alcohol, too much drugs, too much cigarettes, whatever it is, pornography. You pray and you believe and you keep thanking the Lord. You keep praising God. Pray believing as if you have already received, and you watch that mountain move slowly, day by day, into the sea. Well, in verse 21, Jesus caps up this passage of scripture and he says, however, this kind, he's talking about this kind of demon that caused the seizures. He's saying, however, this kind does not go out but except by prayer and fasting. And so that's what he's saying to the disciples, that you need to pray and fast to get more power to cast out this demon. And he's also saying to us as adults, when you have specific spiritual issues and what appears to be intractable problems that you just can't move out, if you will pray and fast, you will come to a place where you will come face to face with that demon that is causing that problem. That demon will arise up out of you and you just keep praying and believing and casting that demon out of yourself. You can have the other people pray for you. The Bible says in James 5, 13 to 16, go to the elders, let them pray for you. That's not just for physical ailments. That's not just for, you know, if you have problems in your physical body. It's also about your spiritual walk, your spiritual fortitude, your spiritual successes. If you go to the elders and let them pray for you, they can help you remove those demons out of your life. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. And so if you go to people who have a strong spiritual walk and a solid spiritual walk, they can help you move those demons out of your life, and you can benefit then, and you can be blessed, and you can move forward both physically and spiritually. Well, there's other types of demons. If you go to Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 17, Jesus talks about other demons here, and these are demons that people encounter and have to deal with on a daily basis. And in Matthew 15, 17, Jesus said, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Well, he's talking to the Pharisees because they had these religious rules about what food you could eat, what food you can't eat. And the rules, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 11, these rules are laid out, and that's part of the law, part of the law that the Lord gave the children of Israel when they were out in the desert, in the wilderness area. And these rules are very precise, and they cover everything that creeps, everything that walks on the earth, everything that flies, all of these things, the fish. What can you eat? What can't you eat? And this law was given to the Jewish people. Orthodox Jews still follow these laws, and there's a lot of common sense involved, obviously, because the wisdom of God is in these laws. And so there's common sense and wisdom in keeping these laws, even for us. But all things are clean. Now, in the New Testament, all things are clean. If you want to eat a rabbit, go ahead and eat a rabbit. If you want to eat a chicken, eat a chicken. All of this stuff is sanctified and cleansed by the Lord God, by his blood. And so all things have been made clean. But Jesus said, do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, he's talking about the words that we speak, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart, verse 19, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness or lies, and blasphemies. Blasphemies is lying against the Holy Spirit, or basically denying the power of Jesus Christ to save your life. That's what blasphemy is. And these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And so these things that come out of the heart are then manifested in actions by people. The words that come from the heart that speak about murder and hatred and anger and violence, all of these words, and putting people down and slandering against people, all of these words that come out of the heart indicate there are demonic entities lodged in the soul. There are demonic entities attached to the soul that bring about all of these negative outcomes, these negative behaviors. And Jesus lists these negative behaviors, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Well, if you go to the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are all of these things that we see that are negative behaviors and actions in people's lives, and these works of the flesh then act out in murders and in adulteries and fornications and thefts and drunkenness and all this stuff. And so these are demonic attachments to the soul. These are demons who have gotten into the soul and attached to the soul over the years. Some of them come in very young in a person's life. Some of them are introduced by the parents and their biographies, you might say, or their heredity. And so they become generation curses in a person's life. Some of them people willingly choose as they grow up because they're hurt in some ways, or they're offended in some ways. And so their response is to invite demons into their life, and they become then demonic entities that influence these negative behaviors. Well, where did the devil come from? That's all begs a big question. Where did the demons and the devil come from? Who is the devil? In other words, who is the devil? Where did he come from? How did he get in our life? How did he get in the Garden of Eden? Back in Genesis chapter 3, how did he get in the Garden of Eden? Well, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 14, here is a picture spoken through the king of Babylon. In other words, this word was for the king of Babylon, but this is a picture of Lucifer, who is the devil. He is Satan, and Lucifer at one time was on the mountain of God in heaven with the Lord God Almighty, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so this is a very telling, a very revealing passage of scripture. I invite you to read the whole of chapter 14 of Isaiah. We're not going to have time to look at all of it today, but I'm going to point out a few scriptures from this Isaiah 14 to give you an idea of where the devil himself, where Satan himself came from. And so in verse 14:9, it says, "Hell from beneath you is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, 'Have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us?'" Verse 11, "Your pomp is brought down to Sheol," or brought down to hell, "and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you and worms cover you." Verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, shining one, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." And then in verse 13, it talks about the desire or the motive of Lucifer to take over God's throne in heaven. The desire of Satan to take over God. And this is still the desire of Satan today. He wants to take over our God in heaven. He wants to take over God in your life. He wants to supplant the destiny that God has given you, the destiny and the calling that God has placed on your life. The devil wants to take that out. And here it is in verse 13, the I wills. I call this the I wills. "For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Well, the pit is hell. The pit is where you don't want to go. The pit is the place of made for the devil and his angels. It is not God's desire that we be in the pit or that we be with the devil. It is not God's desire that we go down to Sheol, that we be brought down to Sheol. But beloved, you have a choice to make. And the choice is between the kingdom of God, the blood of Jesus over your life, the blood of Jesus over everything that you do, or you let the devil run your life and ruin your life and take you down to the pit, down to the depths of Sheol. That is the choice that you have to make, that I have to make. And I've been down, that road to hell in my life. And so for me, I had to make that choice at one point in my life. And some of you out there listening to me today, you need to make that choice today. Do you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ? Make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Put your life under the blood of Jesus. Let him wash your sins away. Say, yes, Jesus, I want to change my life. I want to submit to you. Turn from my iniquity. Turn from my sinful ways and love you and accept you just as you love me, even as I was a sinner. And if you do that today, let me know. Drop me a line, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you've made that decision to receive Jesus today. We'll get you some literature, get you on your Christian walk, get you on your way to serving the Lord Jesus. Get into a good Bible-believing church, follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and you will be on your way to a glorious end of your life, no matter what day it comes. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry for the radio broadcast, also for the work in Africa that we're doing. And we praise the Lord for the opportunity we have to share the good news of the gospel with you. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.